We're looking this Advent at humility at Christmas. And last week we looked at the amazing truth that God is gentle and humble, that the God who created everything clothed himself in humanity so that we might be able to receive his salvation and clothe ourselves with Christ. This morning we're looking at the wise men. And a couple of weeks ago I showed this picture. And when I'm training leaders in Africa, crowds always gather to see this strange sight, a white man in their village. And we read of the arrival of the wise men and their questions to Herod, causing Herod to be greatly disturbed. And then it says all Jerusalem with them were disturbed. And so I think when they finally arrived in Bethlehem, they drew large crowds. It wasn't, you know, in the dead of night they came to worship Jesus. They arrived and there was quite a commotion and great crowds gathered. These magi, these wise men arrive when Jesus is a toddler. Matthew uses the word for toddler in verse 11. And they are astrologers, they're priests, they're perhaps rulers from a pagan land, from the east. And what about the star? The star does not seem to have been a global phenomenon. The Chinese kept very accurate records of the time of the stars, and there doesn't seem to have been a special, unusual star. When they arrive in Bethlehem, they inquire of the wise men, when did this sign appear? So it doesn't seem like it's a sort of a generally seen star. I lean towards the theory that the wise men studied the movements of the planets. Planets are literally wandering stars. And more recent discoveries have revealed that Herod died in 8 BC, so our Gregorian calendar is a little bit out. So Christ was born before this. A remarkable conjunction of the planets with Regulus, the king star, appears as a bright star in the sky in 7 BC. And this maybe is what called these planet gazers on their journey to Jerusalem. But leaving aside the star, there is some irony here. Outsiders, Gentiles, Arabs, come a long way and worship Jesus. Insiders, who've been waiting for centuries for the Messiah, do not make the short journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. We also sense from their interactions with Herod and with the leadership in Jerusalem that they're more than just, you know, three men on a camel. They seem to be rulers. They seem to be people of importance. They gain an audience with Herod. Herod comes to them to talk privately to them. So they seem to be rulers. We're also not sure how many of them they were, but tradition based upon the gifts and Isaiah 60 suggests that there were three. So perhaps there were more, perhaps there were three, but they certainly came, I'm sure, with a great entourage. The movie Anna and the King stars Jodie Foster as Anna Leon Owens, an English schoolteacher in Siam during the late 19th century. And she becomes a teacher to the King of Siam's many children and wives. And when Anna is first brought before the king, she's told that at all times, every subject has to be lower than the king. And there's this amazing scene at the beginning of the movie when everyone in the entire court is lying on the floor because the king is reclining on a low couch. So everyone has to be lower than the king. And it helped me to understand what it means to prostrate ourselves before someone of importance. In the movie, she's a bit unconventional and so she remains standing, but she develops a deep friendship with the royal family. The pictures of the wise men commonly have them kneeling before Jesus. But Matthew tells us that the wise men, upon finding Jesus, fall down and worship him. They prostrate themselves before a toddler. So Jesus is a little toddler. So you've got to get lower than the toddler. So they are literally lying on the floor and worshiping Jesus. Just think of this. Great, wise rulers from the East worshiping a toddler, worshiping the way greater, Christ, who has been born to save the world. And the question I have is, will we lower our hearts before Jesus this Christmas day? It's more difficult than we imagine. It's probably the most difficult thing that God calls us to do, is to lower our hearts before Jesus Christ this Christmas day. What is the worst gift that you've ever been given? One of my best gifts, actually, was a Bosch drill from Rikia on my 25th birthday. I loved the drill. I thought, wow, what an amazing gift. So perfect. Just perfect for me. I think I'm going to buy something really, really perfect for Rikia. So I did a lot of thinking, and then I decided I've got just the perfect gift. And I brought her a steam iron. I thought she's going to be so happy. While I'm hanging up pictures, Rikia will be merrily ironing away. We will be the perfect couple. But apparently this was not the case. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. A steam iron is not what every maiden wants for her birthday. I was not a wise man. Isaiah is believed to prophetically point to the wise men. And we read that people from Midian, Ephah, and Sheba will come with a great caravan of camels bearing gold and frankincense for the Lord. And the names Midian, Ephah, and Sheba is partly why we get the idea that there were three kings. And Sheba was probably in Yemen or North Africa. So that's why in Spanish tradition, one of the kings is a black man. But in a sense, the wise men offer Jesus the perfect gifts. They're gifts that fulfill Old Testament prophecy, gold and frankincense. They're gifts that declare to the world, they declare to us who this toddler is and what he has come to do. They give him gold. Gold is a gift for a king. Gold for the King of Heaven, who will sit on David's throne forever. And of the increase of his government, of the increase of his reign, there will be no end. Frankincense is a rich aromatic spice that's used in worship, and it's a symbol of Jesus' priestly role. Jesus, we're told in Hebrews, is our great and final high priest. He was like us in every way, yet without sin. And through his perfect life, through his perfect sacrifice, through his death and resurrection, he is able to offer us mercy and grace so that we might approach the throne of God and come before God. So in this way, he is our perfect forever high priest. Myrrh is a perfume that is used to anoint dead bodies. It's a strange gift. It's kind of like buying someone for Christmas a coffin or a voucher to a funeral parlor. But it reminds us, and I think they are giving a gift prophetically here, that this king, this priest, will lay down his life for the salvation of the world. The wise men falling prostrate before Jesus. Gifts that tell us Jesus is a very great king. That Jesus is our great and final high priest. that Jesus is our great Savior. Jesus is our only Savior, we're told in Acts, for there is no one else apart from Jesus by whom we may be saved. No one else apart from Jesus laid down his life for our salvation. Our minds can be all over the place at Christmas, thinking about all that has to be done, trying to navigate the complexities of relationships. Is the food in the oven doing okay? When will this preacher be done? Will my family remember to call me? Do you think Ricky will like her steam iron? What time's a king's speech? Are the shops open tomorrow? Do the sales begin? We've got all these questions. And the final question I leave us with is this. Will we take time this Christmas to remember Jesus, our great King, our great High Priest, our great Savior? Amen. Lord, thank you that you've come to be our King, to be our Savior, to be our High Priest. And I pray that we will remember the kings, these great leaders who fell down, who literally fell flat on the floor before you, Lord Jesus, in worship. Lord, help us to remember their gifts that point to who this toddler is. This toddler is the King of Kings, who will sit on David's throne forever. And of the increase of your government, there will be no end. You will bring all things in this universe back together. Help us remember that you're our great High Priest, like us in every way, tempted and yet without sin. And because of your death and resurrection, you are now able to clothe us in mercy and grace and to bring us before the throne of the Father God as his children. Lord, we thank you that you came not to take up your life, but to lay it down for our salvation. Lord, you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Lord, take away our sins. Help us to repent and follow you in our hearts this Christmas. And then clothe us in your righteousness, I pray, as our Savior. So Lord, we remind ourselves again that you are our King, our High Priest, and our Savior. And we bow in our hearts before you right now. Amen.